wasn't sure what to entitle this today, but I had the question. You may noticed it, may have noticed it on your program there. What are you doing? Of course, we can ask this in different ways, like, what are you doing? And a lot of times the response will be nothing. But we're not asking it like that. We're asking, what are you doing? And hopefully the answer is, I'm doing something for Yahweh's kingdom. I'm doing something that will help others. I'm doing something that will help me to glorify Yahweh and His Son Yahshua. Because this is what it's all about. We have an understanding that we are to be in obedience to the Father, we are to have faith in the Son, and we are to grow in grace and knowledge of Him. And as He walked, we're to walk. And we need to make sure that we're doing just that. But sometimes it's difficult. I mean, if we were approached for a project and we're told, you know, you're going to look kind of disheveled by the end of all this, but you're going to have some, maybe even some teeth broken. You're going to have maybe your shoulder's not going to quite work right, but you'll stand at the end. You may be thinking, well, I don't think I want to be involved with that. But this is kind of what we're called for. We're called to struggle. We're called to go through difficulties, hardships, trials. And, you know, you think of Paul, what he went through. He was shipwrecked. He was stoned to the point of they thought he was dead. Thankfully, he was able to walk away from that. It was Yahweh's will that he did. He had to deal with false brethren. He had to deal with false teachers. And there were others that persecuted him. I'm sure that even us, we initially have friends that desert us. We have family that chides us. And we wonder, well, is this the way it's supposed to be? Because, you know, I'm trying to do your will, Father, and I thought that there's supposed to be some blessings. Well, indeed, there are blessings. And there are rewards. And I do think that our prayer needs to be that we will stand at the end of it all as we go through the struggle that we go through. Let's go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Now, there are times when it's very good. We have our ups and downs, and there's joy at times to go through some of the trials that we go through. If we keep our eyes focused on Yahweh and we keep a focus on what is coming. 2 Chronicles 15, account of Asa, who's the first king in Judah. He reigned for 41 years, and Yahweh talked to him. It says in verse 1, now the spirit of Yahweh came to Azariah, the son of Odiah, and he went to meet Asa and said to him, listen to me, Asa, and old Judah and Benjamin, Yahweh is with you when you are with him. It's a condition. I'll be with you if you'll be with me, is what he's saying. It says, if you seek him, he will let you find him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. So if we seek him, we'll find him. If we walk away, he'll let us, is basically what he's saying. In verse 3, he says, for many days Israel was without the true Elohim and without a teaching priest and without law. They're all important. But in their distress, they turned to Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, and they sought him, and he let them find him. So many times, because of their disobedience, they were punished, and they lost contact, really, literally, with Yahweh. But in their distress, and when they came to a full repentance, they turned to Yahweh, and he turned to them. It's not so much that we desire Yahweh to come on our side. We need to be willing and able and have the mindset that we need to go to Yahweh's side. And this is exactly what the people did at this time. And Yahweh is giving them encouragement. In those times there was no peace to him who went out or to him who came in, for many disturbances afflicted all the inhabitants of the land. Nation was crushed by nation, city by city, for Elohim troubled them with every kind of distress. Why? Because they were disobedient. But you be strong and do not lose courage, for there is a reward for your work. Now, we are few. We are very few. And when we go out and try to share the good news with people, they pretty much tune us out and turn us off and walk away. And that's all right. I mean, we're going to have a number of no's before we get a yes. But at times there'll be questions, you know, well, what is this that you're sharing with me here in this mini study? Or what is this name Yahweh? I've never heard of that before. These type of things. But today you can look in the commentaries and resources and prove all these things. I did look up into the Webster's Dictionary concerning struggle. It says to make strenuous or violent efforts against opposition, contend, to proceed with difficulty or great effort. I don't think we're contending necessarily, but we are trying to share and help people understand. And certainly, you know, even Paul said that he would plant seeds. Apollos, who was working with him, would water. But ultimately, Yahweh causes the growth. And we have to look at it that way as well. So what do? We just let it all fall in Yahweh's hands and say, okay, it's your ballpark. You take care of it. No, we have to do our part. We have to, you know, provide seeds. We have to help explain at times and share the truth as we're able. Because Yahweh has given it to us, and He doesn't want us to just hold it, hide it, bury it, do away with it. He wants us to use it, make use of it to glorify Him. So I guess the question is, can we take the easy way to eternal life? Well, let's look at Luke 18 to start to answer this. Luke 18 and verse 2. Here's someone that maybe we can relate to, or we could relate to at some point. But in a certain city there was a judge who did not fear Elohim and did not respect man, but there was a woman in that city and she kept coming to him, saying, give me legal protection for my opponent. For a while he was unwilling, but afterwards he said to himself, even though I do not fear Elohim nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out. And Yahweh said, hear what the unrighteous judge said. Specifically, this is an unrighteous judge. Now will not Elohim bring about justice? Verse 7. Now will not Elohim bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Why does he ask that? He must know that it's going to be very difficult in the end before he returns. And when he returns, he's asking the question, will he find faith on the earth? We know 2/3 of the population is going to be destroyed. Yahweh says it will be. And so it's not going to be all, you know, rosy at the end. But, you know, when we think about these things, we don't need to lose heart. We can realize that there is something ahead of us that is much greater than anything we can imagine. But we can have a picture of the coming kingdom. We can have a picture of Yahshua coming and looking forward to a time when there will be peace, when there will be prosperity like this world has never, ever seen before. And, you know, we have to think back with Adam and Eve. They had an opportunity to take of the tree of life. And evidently it was not meant to be. They chose wrong, and we've been suffering ever since. But we're given an opportunity today to take of the tree of life through Yahshua the Messiah and be grafted into Israel, which, by the way, happens to mean overcoming with the help of El. We don't do this by ourselves, so we do it with His help. Galatians 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And, you know, within the body, we strive to work together. We try to do Yahweh's will together, loving one another, sharing what we can to further the work. And when we see a brother in need, it's good to reach out and help. And certainly this world has a lot of troubles and things, but we need to make sure that we can we strive to help at times. James 5 and verse 10. James 5, verse 10 says, as an example, brethren, of suffering and of patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of Yahweh. We count these are those blessed who endured. You have heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of Yahweh's dealings, that Yahweh is full of compassion, is merciful. What was the end of Job? What was the beginning? I mean, it didn't look good for Job at one point. And who was involved? Satan was involved. Well, Satan is still around today, and Yahweh does allow Satan to do certain things. And there are a lot of difficult, in fact, I should say, just quite frankly, plain, strange doctrines that we are seeing among the sacred name assemblies. And we wonder why. We had an individual, a prisoner, who wrote recently, and he was wondering, you know, why can't we all get together? Let's focus on this and gather together. Well, he was focusing on something that we don't believe. And I made mention to him that, you know, my own experience has been that there are some core beliefs that have been going on for quite some time, and then there are a few assemblies that hold on to these foundational truths. But what I've seen is that people will leave, start teaching something else, and that doctrine can actually spread into another teaching. So you have these different things going on, but yet we're still teaching what we've been teaching. I mean, we may grow in a better understanding in a certain area, and we'll make those corrections. But to go off and start changing the doctrines to where it's completely something else is strange. And Scripture talks about you know, doctrines of demons and such. And we have to understand that Satan is alive and well, maybe not too well, but he knows his time is short, and he's going after those that hold truth, that hold Yahweh's truth. Job wasn't he called a righteous man? Wasn't he a righteous man in his generation? Satan went after him. So if we're righteous, if we're striving to be righteous, guess who's going to possibly come after us? We have to keep these things in mind. But we are encouraged to know that if we resist, that we are promised that Satan will flee. That's Yahweh's word. Let's go over to James 1:4. You know, Yahweh allows some of these things to happen for a purpose. In verse 4, it says, "Let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Verse 3, backing up, "knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." I mean, there's a step-by-step process that occurs. Doesn't 1 Peter talk about you start out with faith, and then you add to that? And so you keep adding to it until you come into more of a fullness of the love that we're to have for one another. And before you get to that love, you have to have like brotherly, sisterly kindness towards one another, and self-control even before that. You have to have these attributes, and these are attributes of the Spirit. And I think we have to ask ourselves sometimes, what are we doing? Are we expressing the fruits of the Spirit? Or are we submitting to that satanic spirit that's out there that we know is you know, contrary to Yahweh's spirit? First Peter Of course, we talk about standing at the end of it all. Well, we need to realize that there's eternal life that's waiting for those that overcome. There are a number of blessings, rewards for those that overcome to the end. And we know it's not just overcoming temporarily or part way or halfway, it's overcoming to the end. 1 Peter 1 and starting in verse 4. To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. If you're in Yahshua the Messiah, this is speaking to you. You are protected by the power of Elohim through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Yahshua the Messiah. Those are very comforting words. And we know that Yahweh doesn't change. Yahweh even tested Abraham and said, I want your firstborn son. And Abraham was willing to do that. That's what Yahweh wanted. And he didn't have to. And Yahweh said, now I know. And so Abraham was greatly blessed. And we're here because of Abraham being blessed. So even though Adam and Eve messed up, we're here because others were blessed by Yahweh. Because Abraham's descendants were going to be as the sands of the sea. And ultimately, they will be like the stars of heaven. So what kind of work do we have? What kind of work should we be doing? Let's go over to Matthew. What can we do to receive a blessing? Well, certainly we need to be obedient to what we find to be the instructions for us to do. Matthew 9 and verse 36. Here Yahshua is having compassion on the people. In verse 36, it starts out saying, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore beseech Yahweh of the harvest, the master of the harvest, to send out workers into his harvest. So we're not only to do something, we're to pray that there would be more workers, that there would be more available seed throwers, waterers, helpers in the fields, that Yahweh's will is accomplished. This is Yahshua saying, pray for this. Because he says he could evidently see those that were willing to come, but there needed to be those that would go out and call them and say, or maybe not necessarily call them, but share the truth with them, and then ultimately Yahweh would call them with that sharing of the truth. Matthew 10 and verse 16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be shrewd as serpents and innocent as doves. They were being sent out to proclaim the word. They were told, look, you're going to have some difficulties. You're going to have to be aware of what's out there. But go and do these things. And Yahshua tells us the same thing. John 17, 18. Yahshua was sent. And all he's doing is doing Yahweh's will, allowing us to be sent as well by telling us to go and do these things. John 17, verse 18. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. Of course, not to be of the world, but to share the truth with those that are in the world. Is everyone going to come to the understanding that we have? No. Why is there punishment coming? Because of the wickedness out there. Is it the majority that's going to be saved? No. The majority is going to be killed. And it's a serious thing. Yahweh is not going to allow the world to go and continue in its path of destruction. And punishment comes for those that are disobedient. The blessings and the cursings, they're still there. And Yahweh will bring what he will bring about. And so, do we even need to look at the scriptures that would ask or answer the question, will everyone listen? You know, we can turn to 1 John 4:6, where it talks about the spirit of error. They won't understand. They'll refuse to listen. Ezekiel 2:7, Ezekiel was told to tell the rebellious people, even though they are rebellious. Why? Matthew 10 might give the answer here. Matthew 10, verse 22. 10:22. Now, it's saying that we'll be hated because of his name, but it's the one that endures to the end that will be saved. There's another scripture that says that we are to witness as a testimony, as a proclamation, basically. Just as Yahweh worked through Ezekiel, Amos, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and others to tell the people, we are to be in line with that and tell the people as well. And there's different ways of doing that. I mean, we have multicolored literature. We have we're reprinting everything that we had before and continuing to send it out. And if you have a desire to plant seeds, this is a good way to do it. And for those on the CD, you can't see these, but they're here and available. There's DVDs, CDs. These are all available. And they can be handed out. They can be shared with others. Another seed-bearing piece of literature is the Beacon magazine, the YAY Beacon. These things are available. DVDs, CDs, mini studies, magazines, sharing the word with someone, just, you know, allowing them to know what the website is. Being a sponsor for Revealing the Truth. There's a lot of seeds that can be planted in your own area by doing or helping out in that way. And, you know, during the week, we should ask ourselves, you know, what are we doing? Are we doing something for Yahweh? Are we doing something to help this dying world? Because we are to be lights in this world. We are not to be covered up under a bushel or, you know, as the light is supposed to be put on a lampstand. We are also to be showing our good works and such, not to necessarily to be bragging or anything, but to help people to see that there is a better way. Matthew 24:14 was the one I was looking for as a witness. But let's go over to Mark 4 and verse 3. Mark 4 and verse 3. We'll go through 8. Parable of the seeds. You've all read this, no doubt. Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Same thing happens. When we share maybe some literature, somebody might glance at it and then rip it up, throw it away. Somebody says, oh, what you got there? That ain't nothing. You know, and it just doesn't take root. Verse 5, other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. Immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. Maybe someone thought, wow, this is really interesting. Oh, I love the name Yahweh. That sounds beautiful. That's really his name? Oh, I thought it was something else, like Lord or God or something. Well, this is amazing. But then they lose interest. They get tied up with other things, and it just takes them away. Verse 6, and after the sun had risen, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and thorns came and choked it, and it yielded no crop. I remember a guy that came into a business I was at one time, and he said, well, I was just here to watch a movie. All my other fellow workers are going to go off and have a night of it on the town. Well, I knew what he meant, and he didn't want to be a part of that. And I really admired him because of that. And he was, we got to talking a little bit, and I found out what religion he was of and persuasion and all that. And we talked a little bit further. I don't know if he remembers anything I said, but I do remember him and his example. And a lot of times, it's our example that people remember. It's not what we say. It's what we do. Going on here, it says, other seeds fell into good soil, and as they grew up, and they increased, and they yielded a crop. And they produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. That's enough to make any farmer happy. And, you know, we have to do our part to make our master happy as well, because he is the farmer, so to speak, of the fields. And we want to make sure that we're doing our job in the field. And we all have a part, whether it's to pray, whether it's to hand out literature, whether it's to share maybe the DVDs or the CDs that we're getting to others. I mean, we don't necessarily just want to keep those and put them on the shelf. That's like putting your Bible up on the shelf and not pulling it down. It's better to share this information with others and to keep it going, because it can have a domino effect. Someone may get a hold of it really excited about it. They'll share it with others, and they can produce, yield a crop of 30, 60, 100-fold, just as Scripture says. This will happen. There will be those, and the majority go to the wayside. But there's a core of that takes root, a core of the seeds that are planted that takes root and produces a crop. 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 22. To the weak I became weak. Here's Paul speaking. He's describing what he would do to help share the word with others. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men. You know, we're not out wanting to parade ourselves in purple robes and these type of things and making a show of it, trying to get maybe a particular convert or something. All people. Yahweh is not discriminative. You know, as we are to treat someone maybe of the world considers of lowly stature, maybe someone poor, already disheveled looking, you know, these type of things. We're to treat them the same as we do someone maybe of a higher rank in the workforce or whatever. I mean, and whether it's a particular race, a creed, women, men, doesn't matter. Yahweh is working with a lot of different people. Though, as I say a lot, it's really a few when you consider the overall population in the world, which is about 6 billion, I think, almost maybe going on towards 7 billion now. But Paul says, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I may be by all means save some, that I may have a part in sharing, in giving, in helping, in providing. Verse 23, I do all things for the sake of the evangel, so that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And so we're told the same. Will we receive help to proclaim the good news and plant those seeds? Acts 1 and verse 18. We are promised help. And though we may feel like we don't have energy at times and we need that cup of coffee or whatever it may be that will get us going, maybe a ride on a motorcycle or something, as the saying goes, whatever blows your hair back. That certainly would. But whatever gets you motivated, certainly reading Yahweh's word, praying, getting help that way. But ultimately, that power does come from on high. Acts 1 and verse 18 said, "Now this man acquired a field." Oh, let's see, is that what I was looking for? That's not one. That's not what I was looking for. Okay, I wrote down the wrong one. But basically, we receive power through the Spirit. We know that the Spirit is a power force. It's not an individual. It is part of Yahweh. Yahweh is Spirit. And so we know that the Spirit that is shared with us is His Spirit. And it's that Spirit that helps us. And maybe 2:18. No, but that does talk about the Spirit being poured out. And we do understand that there's an initial pouring out and also a latter pouring out. It's the first and latter rains that are talked about in Scripture. And I think as we get closer to making sure that everything is right, Acts, is it Acts 3 talks about the restoration of all things, Acts 3 and verse 21. Yahshua's waiting until there's a restoration of a number of things, and of course the names are very important. Sabbaticals, regular Sabbaths, feast days, all these things need to be for His people before Yahshua returns. And then of course He's going to further restore this world and beyond. But we can move forward in Him. In John, book of John and chapter 15 and verse 4. "Abide in me and I in you, as the branches cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they are gathered, and they gather them, and they are cast into the fire where they are burned." Ultimately, God is talking about a second death. And so, when we talk about, drawing close to Yahweh, we need to continually draw close to Him so that we make sure that we're in Him and the Messiah, in their spirit, the spirit that unites them, and in the truth that they have provided for us. In all of this, a lot of times I'll think about what is presented and pray that it be inspired and everything, and I wanted to share this, but I wanted to also there be a good reason for this information going out. And I think the thing that comes to mind is that if we have a vision, then we have hope. We have Yahshua. We have hope. We have the kingdom. We know about the coming kingdom. Let's go over to Proverbs 31. And we have to ask ourselves, what are we doing? Are we doing the right things? Are we doing enough? Are we doing what Yahweh would have us to do? Are we in His Spirit? Are we in the Messiah? We have to make sure that we are. Because if we're not, Scripture says that we are, it's over for us. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. "Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. The people perish," I think it says in the King James Version, "if there is no vision." So Yahweh has given us a vision. Yahweh has given us an understanding. Proverbs 28 and verse, I'm sorry, 29 and verse 18 says, in this particular version, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law." I think the King James says that where there is no vision, the people perish. And if the people are unrestrained, they will be perishing because they'll be disobedient to Yahweh. And I think the vision that we have of the coming kingdom, of what Yahweh is doing through Yahshua and with us at this time, is giving us hope, and it keeps us on track. We don't look to the left or to the right because we want to stay on the straight and narrow path, which leads to eternal life. And, you know, thinking about the struggle and thinking about these various things, you know, Israel is talked about from Genesis to Revelation, and what Israel means is overcoming with the help of El, overcoming with Yahweh's help. And this is what we have to do. So we need to ask ourselves, and I ask you, what are you doing? And if I seem to be stepping out of bounds at some point, ask me, what are you doing? And hopefully I won't say nothing. Hopefully I'll say I'm trying to do something good here for Yahweh, because this is what we're all to be doing. May Yahweh bless.